is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here. Douglas County Commissioner Tom Kress on with us this afternoon. Tom, thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks for having me today, Kyle.
Well, we want to talk about a lot of things related to the new budget year, the new fiscal year for Douglas County. That began, like it does for many governmental entities, at the start of July. And I guess at the front end, let's talk about what the total budget for the county is in this new fiscal year.
Yeah, this next year, our total budget is a little over $202 million. Which is a big increase from the $174 million it was last year.
Yeah, and explain the reason for that increase.
Well, most of that increase is due to things like we have the American Rescue Act funds that are appropriated for Douglas County. Those were for the ongoing fight for the coronavirus and the recovery of that. And then there's also a bunch of, $24 million worth of bridge work budgeted this year that we're going to take an aggressive swing at several of our bridges.
And is that part of a federal government money as well, where the county's contributing to share?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The bridge work, we're leveraging quite a bit of federal money through the Department of Transportation to, do that work. It's certainly not coming all out of, the county's coffers. However, it will be a pretty good reduction in the public works fund, because the road fund, because we're doing quite a few bridges.
And a lot of bridges, it seems like everywhere, but in Douglas County, a lot of bridges, it seems like, are ending the use or their usefulness, or ending, getting to a point where they need at least serious repair, if not replacement.
Yeah, a lot of our bridges are, upwards of 75 plus years old. They were built with a 50-year lifespan. We've got a lot of them. We've got load-restricted bridges throughout the county. Some of them are just, our major bridges that we've got to take care of. Like we're going to be doing the Oakland Bridge and the Conford Bridge out in Garden Valley, and those will go to bid this fall. Those are, major arterial bridges that we can't let them fail. So, we've got to stay on top of that, and they just have to be done.
And they also involve a lot of logistical work there. I'm sure in at least the two cases you mentioned there, during part of the repair period, there's going to be a lot of traffic issues.
Yeah, like, for instance, the Conford Bridge there, it's going to route most of that Melrose traffic is probably going to go on Old Melrose Road and come into on Harvard. So that's going to be a major increase in the traffic on Harvard. And there'll be some that might go on out, Melqua Road and head north. But I'm looking for most of it coming in on Harvard.
And is this a larger amount of bridge projects in this next fiscal year than have taken place in a long time?
Yes, it is. I mean, it's in number of bridges and in the dollar amount. Those two bridges I mentioned, that's $12 million that we're spending right there on those two bridges alone. But we're also doing several other bridges at the time because, the materials and cost of engineering and cost of labor and all that is not going to get cheaper with any time. So there's no sense delaying this. We've got to, they need to be done, so we're going to get as many done as we can.
For the federal dollars that came in for COVID-19 pandemic recovery, what's the process with determining where those are going to go?
Well, some of that's still kind of being determined right now. For this fiscal year, they've allocated Douglas County a little over $10 million. And the exact how and why of that is still kind of trying to be explained a little bit. But when we get that, it's a lot of it, our main goal is to make sure we have money to continue the, epidemiology work that we've been doing and make sure that we still track cases. you know, you got to understand we've gone from having a very small amount of money spent in Douglas County on, you know, the Douglas Public Health Network and the and that kind of work to having a very large budget almost overnight. And we got to make sure we have that in the future, if depending on where the pandemic goes.
And for the budget, talk about the process. I mean, it's for a large organization and a large entity, it would seem like that you've got probably a real big budget process.
Oh, boy. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We start in February, I believe, you know, around, somewhere in February, we meet with the department heads and kind of go over what their what our aspirations are for the their coming year for the budget. Tell them exactly how we would like that to, you know, play out. Then they get together what they think they are going to do for the following year and submit that to us, and we start having budget workshops in March and April and go through that a little bit. And then in May, we really get serious about it and actually go through those and kind of tell them this. They make their case, and then this is what we're going to live with. They go back and fine-tune it a little bit with our management and finance, and then in May we start having hearings, and in June 30th we adopted this year's budget.
And by that point, of course, that's kind of a formality because you've got the new fiscal year starting just hours away. This year, did you approve the budget unanimously? How did that go?
We did. We had a unanimous approval. It was June 30th, it was a unanimous approval of all three of the commissioners at our weekly business meeting.
Now, you mentioned the bridge work and the pandemic dollars. What about other changes to the budget this fiscal year?
Yeah, we've got, besides, you know, some of those things, we have your like our public safety budget, you know, it's gone to, it's up a couple million dollars. Even though we've not increased or decreased FTE at all, that's almost all in personal service expense. You know, you're it just and a lot of our different departments, the same scenario is going on. We're not increasing our FTE at all, but their personal service costs, the cost of employing people, has just gone more expensive between PERS and other benefits and just keeping up with cost of living. It's becoming you know, just like almost 8% a year.
And I would suspect that a lot of governmental organizations, especially on the PERS issue, are dealing with that. Did you look at anything in terms of potential cuts, or is there talk again in the future of some kind of public safety levy?
No, we hadn't talked about it this year at all. I know in the future, you know, in the past that that's been talked about. I know that this board is committed to public safety and giving the sheriff what he needs in terms of, you know, law enforcement. I will tell you that one of the problems we had this year is we've received significantly less Department of Justice revenue for the actual jail. So, and if we, you know, we're running at a lower incarceration rate because of just some of the reduction in some of the things that they can actually incarcerate people for. So if we continue to not have a full capacity jail, we might look at cuts there, but only if that becomes, you know, something that is actually operationally makes sense, because, you know, we're certainly committed to public safety.
Now, I know a lot of people don't pay attention to this until their property tax statement comes out, but what's the current property tax rate for the county?
Oh, the county property tax rate is $1.11 per thousand of property value. It's that has been the same rate since 1995, and it's by statute. That's locked in by the voters in 95. So that won't change, or is not subject to change at all.
So how much, with that not changing, how much is the county bringing in property tax revenue?
This year we're budgeting to bring in around $11 million in property tax revenue, and that increases in year only just by the fact that the tax base, the, you know, basically the appraised value of the tax base goes up. And it's, again, is also can only go up at a certain amount. But it'll be a little over $11 million this year.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More about the county budget, the process, and related topics with County Commissioner Tom Kress. The interview, a KQEN podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Back with more Inside Douglas County in a moment on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming at 1. Later today, Umpqua Valley Live. We'll talk about arts, entertainment, community activities. On Monday's Inside Douglas County, Dr. Teresa Lundy of ADAPT will be talking about some mental health aspects of COVID-19, including what's being called reentry fatigue and related topics on Monday's program. Douglas County Commissioner Tom Kress with us this afternoon talking about the county budget. Of course, the new budget cycle began at the start of the month. We were just talking before the break about the amount of property tax revenue the county brings in. And so in comparison to that amount and the county budget, where do the rest of these funds come from?
Well, there's a significant amount of revenue comes in from grants and appropriations. You know, that would be we're pretty aggressive about going after grants to try to get projects done. And when we get those grants, then we actually, fund the project. So we also have, service fees when you pay for a building permit or something like that. Some of that revenue's in there. But honestly, in the past, a lot of that has been historically is timber receipts, and you know how that story goes. We talk about that a lot. We haven't had much in the way of timber receipts for a long time. And that was always, the county was, most of the southwestern counties were structured to get ONC timber receipts along with federal government Forest Service receipts, and that would fund that difference, as you call it. So last year, for instance, that receipts haven't been, they have the SRS program, the Secure Rural School Funds, and that was like $13 million last year. Well, they didn't reauthorize it this year, so basically we're on actual receipts, which is nowhere near what they did in historical day, but we're budgeting somewhere around $5 million for that for this year. That'll be $4 million of ONC receipts and about $1 million from the Forest Service. So that's kind of where that difference is made up.
And what is involved with your work with the Oregon Congressional delegation in trying to get this reauthorized?
Well, we are constantly talking to them and lobbying them for that support. There's a lot of it's not just Oregon by any means. There's several counties throughout the nation that are relying on the SRS funds, and there's quite a bit of sentiment to reauthorize that. It just has to get done, and it just seems like there's such a struggle to get anything, even if it's got bipartisan support, done in Congress now, that it's just kind of hung up. I do feel they're working on a couple things. They're working on a 2-year fix that would get it reauthorized for this year and next year, and then they're working also on a bigger fix that would fund the program indefinitely, and it would be kind of a mixture of actual receipts and SRS funding. And I hope something like that works, but meanwhile, we'll just keep plugging away with what we've got.
And it seems like in the past year, especially with all the COVID-19 spending and things going on like that, that it was hard to get other major projects up to the table.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, there was lots of things on everybody's mind, and it wasn't necessarily this. They have a lot to deal with, and you talk about not the COVID things, little things that it impacted, like our fair, for instance, the fair fairgrounds and their whole facility and their budget. They're totally reliant on having an events out there, and they couldn't do that during COVID. So they had to scramble pretty good, and they did a really great job of, we redeployed some of the staff, and they cut it back to just bare minimum of out there and did little events that they could here and there. They hosted some of the clinics and whatnot. And, you know, at the end of the day, they came, you know, came and brought their budget in to line just like they had started at the beginning of the year before COVID. And so it was just great hard work that did that. And that's the kind of things we had to do last year, just had to, you know, move on the fly and change things up a little, because business as usual wasn't going to happen.
So overall, with everything going on, how is the county doing financially? What about the reserves?
Well, you know, just a couple years ago, we were budgeting to take somewhere around $26 million out of our general fund reserves. And in the last couple years, we've actually put money back into general fund. You know, I'll give you an example of the Parks Department. You know, there was a situation where a few years ago that they were in poor state, poor repair, needed to have some work done to them. We were, you know, the money was, you know, mostly funding out of general fund. We needed to put some investment in that. So, you know, they instituted the parking fees. And they took that money, and that allowed us to leverage that plus some other grants to invest in stuff, some of those parks, and turn them around to the such that people wanted to, you know, overnight stay and whatnot. And now it's a success story because it's paying its way, and we're, you know, able to remove those park fees. And we did that starting this July 1st, which, you know, it's not that often you see a fee instituted and then have it go away.
And was that the plan at the front end to eventually get to this point where that fee wouldn't be long term?
Absolutely. That was the aspiration from day one, was to, you know, get this thing, get, you know, get it, redo some of the, you know, infrastructure needed that need to be fixed, playgrounds and that kind of thing. And then just have those investments able to and put it, you know, put in place that so that people would want to stay in the campgrounds, would want to pay their way, and then, you know, make the park self-sustaining. And it's been a great success story. And, you know, we've got lots of grants over the last few years and done a lot of really nice work.
So we've got a county with about 125,000 people, give or take, but we've got a very large land size. How does that impact the county in terms of the number of county roads that you have to deal with?
Well, we have somewhere around 1,400 miles of roads, which, if you stretch that end to end, that's Canada to Mexico, 300 and some odd bridge, lots of different geography you have to go through, all the 100 valleys of the Umpqua. So it is kind of a unique situation. You know, lots of those roads are, you know, we have to kind of have them on a priority basis. You know, we've got a, say, a 1-5 system, where a 1 is your arterial road, like a Garden Valley, where it has lots of traffic, got to keep it maintained well, got to keep it open. And you have a 5, which may be a gravel road, and we just have to, you know, make those determinations. But it certainly makes it a challenge when we used to get, you know, millions of dollars from Forest Service to go into the road department off of timber receipts to fund our, you know, maintenance of these roads, and now we're down to just pennies.
Is one of the big challenges having to continually rethink things just because of all the shifting funding?
Well, it absolutely is. Yeah, it's a matter of, you got to look at different priorities and, you know, different ways of going about things and trying to, you know, think outside the box. Just again, back to that Parks Department, you know, that was a way of thinking outside the box a little bit and saying, look, you know, maybe it can pay its own way. And again, I'll go back to, well, I'll give you another example. You know, the museum over at the coast is doing a fantastic job of, you know, selling enough items in its gift shop to starting to pay its way instead of taking from the general fund. And that's just kind of how we're having to do things now.
All right, out of time for now. Douglas County Commissioner Tom Kress, thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kyle.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.